So just FYI, I
Yeah.
just let Connie know that you and I were talking and she wanted me to tell you, hey, Connie Harrison, and that she very much enjoyed speaking with you.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah, she goes, I
I
enjoyed
really like
speaking
her
with
too.
her.
Yeah, we're friends on Facebook and I like her statuses and stuff. Like she's
Yeah,
awesome.
she's
Yeah.
fun. She was
Yeah.
getting a COVID test or a vaccine this morning.
Oh, the vaccine. I've been tested a couple times since I'm a grad student at UK and they have like free testing. So I got my third test on Friday, got tested negative, so that's good.
Okay. Well,
Yeah.
this is the actual vaccine.
Yeah, and the next step actually is they're going to vaccinate us next. So
Oh,
sometime in
nice.
the
Okay.
next month or so, at least like people who are graduate TAs, which I am, like people who teach, will get vaccines. So hopefully I'll get vaccinated. So that will be good.
Yay.
All right, here, let me, okay, I'm gonna start with the interview now, if that's okay. Okay, so hi, this is Adriana Sisco. The date is January 15th, 2021. I'm located at my home in Lexington, Kentucky, and this is an interview for The Country Remembering Lexington's First Lesbian Bar. Thank you for joining me for this interview, Lisa.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And first, would you mind spelling your full name out just for the record?
It's Lisa. It's LEZAH. Last name Preston. PRESTON.
Okay, and where are you currently located?
I live in St. Petersburg, Florida.
Okay. And the background is amazing again, by the way. That's literally where you're located, right? Okay.
On any given day, maybe, but not today. It's all gloomy, getting ready to rain. So, but yes, it's normally pretty sunny here, so that's nice.
All right, well, to kick us off, how about you tell me just a little bit about yourself, just in general?
Yeah, sure. I'm 58 years old. I just had a birthday in December. I've lived in, I was born in Ohio, moved to Kentucky when around ninth grade, and then moved to Florida about 20 years ago. I'm in sales, so I run around running my mouth all day long. I've been in sales basically all my life, selling a bunch of different things, mainly coffee. I'd sold coffee for about 32 years. Now I sell water. I live with my wife of 26 years and our four-legged son, who you may hear barking at the door at me, wanting to get in, but that's pretty much my life.
All right, sounds good. I guess before we get into stuff about the country, we'll just start, much earlier than that with just basic biographical background. Just tell me a bit about growing up. Like, where were you born? What was it like?
Okay. I was born in a teeny tiny town called Gallipolis, Ohio. It's in the southeastern part of the state, pretty much directly across from Cincinnati, but very small. One short, maybe stoplights, very small, but a great place to grow up. I was quite the tomboy. Actually, had my very first kiss was a girl in the second grade.
Whoa.
We double dated, me and my best friend Ted, double dated with my girlfriend. Her name is Dee Hines, which is it's quite funny because we are still the best of friends. And we talk about that often, that we're each other, she's married and got kids, but that we were each other's first kiss. And and then I had some boyfriends along the way and didn't really well. And then in the I think it was ninth grade, my mom and I moved to Lexington, Kentucky. So I started my freshman year at Tate's Creek High School in Lexington, and still had some boyfriends. I only had that one little girlfriend, but was still quite a tomboy. And then it wasn't until my junior year, right after my junior year in high school, I think it was that summer, that my best friend at the time and I ended up kissing, and that was it. So that's kind of how all that began. And then I was like, oh, okay, this is where I'm supposed to be. So that's kind of the story up to that point.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I have some follow-up questions. So you mentioned that you were, you know, a bit of a tomboy. Was that something that people around you embraced? Were they ever, make remarks about it? You know, how was that kind of received?
Kind of funny, because I mean, and there's, because of Facebook, which is awesome, there's so many people that have tracked me down that, you know, when I moved away from Gallup Place, I had so many great friends, boys and girls. And honestly, they all, I mean, I think probably even back then, they probably knew, I might have known, didn't care, didn't get it, you know, because none of us knew what that was back way back then. But nobody, I mean, they would tease me every now and then and call me, you know, Leslie Lisa, which none of us probably even knew what Leslie meant. You know, it was just, it rhymed. And, but, you know, I've had, guys, that I've spoken with, of course, since then as adults, and they're like, you know, you were just one of us. You know, we just loved you. We didn't care. And, you know, we know you're lesbian now. We didn't give a shit. So small town, no, but I mean, it was nothing. You know, I ran around with mainly boys. I didn't really run around with too many girls. So a lot of my best friends were guys. And nobody really thought anything about it. So it wasn't that big a deal.
Not a big deal. Got it. And was it during high school that you had your first sort of like official sort of girlfriend that you mentioned, right?
Yes, my first. Yes. I think it was after our junior year that summer, when we ended up kissing, and then we ended up being together for, gosh, I guess about a year or so after that, until I discovered gay bars. shame. And it was the country, by the way. And then when I saw there were, because we thought we were the only ones. And, you know, when we first found out about that and then ended up going, it was like, oh my God. Then I was crazy. And then had to break up with my best friend, and off I went. So, but in high school, when some of our friends had seen us at a party kissing, that was quite the hubbub, and back and forth with people. Now, you know, nothing happened. We didn't lose any friends over it. Honestly, even looking back then, they didn't care either. but it was just like, you know, Lisa and Alice, you know, we saw them kissing. And then, you know, I had some of my friends are like, you know, were you kissing her? I'm like, no, I don't know what they were talking about. Because, you know, we just weren't ready at that point to come out. I'm like, you know, we might have been hugging or something, or drunk, but, you know, so we denied it for years and years. But yeah, it was like this big hush hush, you know, they're lesbians. And it's like, but nobody cared. It's not like they stopped running around with us or anything. So, but yeah, that was my first love.
Okay. Gotcha. And was there eventually a coming out for you just as an individual at some point, or did that never really happen like overtly necessarily?
No. Yeah. I mean, I did, because honestly, like, you know, when that happened with Alice, I still probably at that point wouldn't have said that I was a lesbian. I just loved her, you know, because, you know, up to that point I dated guys too, and it was more about just who I cared about. So I really, you know, didn't kind of think it that way. Mm-hmm. And then after we'd been together for a while, it was kind of like, okay, you know, I am lesbian. And, you know, so at one point, I mean, it was like, all right, we are. Still didn't really come out to the family or any of our other friends. Just kind of admitted it to both of us. And it was a struggle for both of us. It's like, really? Is that true? Well, I love you. Well, you know, you love me, and, you know, we're making out. So, it was quite a bit longer before I actually, like, came out to family and friends and stuff. Well, not a lot longer. I would say a few years after that of, you know, sneaking around until, you know, finally came out to, you know, my mom and to some of my best friends, but still kind of kept it hush hush.
Mm-hmm. And did you get, it seems like for at least so far, the people you've mentioned that like theorized that you were a lesbian or that something lesbian was going on, that, you know, they noticed it, but they weren't mad about it necessarily. In terms of, you know, coming out eventually to family, was it like a similar reception or was it a little different? You know, what was it like?
Yeah. My mom and dad had divorced when I was really young. So I only, you know, didn't speak. My dad still lives in Ohio. So, you know, didn't really see him a whole lot. And his mom, my grandma, and my half brother were all over in Ohio. So I didn't really see them much, you know, we communicated, but didn't really, you know, talk much about personal life. My mom, when she found out, it wasn't great. You know, I think she just felt like she failed me or something because there wasn't a man in my life, you know, that story. So, I ended up, when I was, right after, high school, I moved out because we were fighting quite a bit about it and it just wasn't, good to be there. So ended up moving out and eventually, you know, she came around. It was tough, you know, but I don't know exactly like when she came around, how many girlfriends later. But yeah, she struggled with it for a while, but then, you know, then it became not a big deal. And, you know, she fell in love with my wife now, Gloria, you know, 27 Christmases ago. So up until her passing a few years back. So it's funny because several years later, I was visiting my dad. I don't recall exactly how old I was, but I'd gone to visit and my grandma took me out back and had said, "I know you're gay. You need to tell your dad and brother or I'm going to tell them." And I'm just like, "Wait, what?" So, she had figured it out long ago and I guess was just waiting for me to come out to them. And I'm like, "Nah, there's really, really no reason. I just never really saw him that much. It's not that we weren't close, but, so I'm like, "Oh, great." And at the time, my cousin, my dad's brother, was also there. And he at that time lived in Florida and he had come to visit. And so we were cracking up because he was also gay and hadn't come out to anybody but, his, dad and mom. But he hadn't come out to his uncle or grandma. So literally we both went in and we're sitting in this room, and, you know, and telling my dad and my brother that, you know, that I was gay. And they both went, "Duh." It's like, "We've known for years and we still love you." I'm like, "All right, then, that was easier than I thought." So, and then, you know, and then Jeff, my cousin's like, "Yeah, I'm the gay too." And they're like, "Yeah, we know about you too." So perfect. But no, there was nothing that bad on that side of the family. But here I have a great, my mom always wanted to get a grant similar to you about my mom's side of the family. So she had three sisters and a brother and then herself. So five siblings. Of those siblings, her older brother had two kids, one was gay. Her older sister had two kids, one was gay. The next sister had two kids, one was gay. My mom had just me, gay. Her younger sister had one daughter, gay. So all on that strand of my mom's side, and then well, on my dad's side, he only had one brother, and his son was gay. So my mom's like, "I want to get a grant." Now that ran through the family there, which, I mean, it's pretty.
It is remarkable though, right?
Yeah. And all of us now talk about it. It's just like, wow, how'd that happen?
It's like Generation Gay over there or something.
Maybe it was in the Ohio water. I don't even know.
Right. Okay, cool. And, just two more, I think, maybe like two more questions or so before I start getting into country stuff.
Okay.
Just based on things you've said, you mentioned that when you were younger, people would use words like, you know, lesbian or whatever, but maybe because your age, like, you all didn't even really know what that meant at the time. Right. Do you have a recollection of when you did learn, like, what the word lesbian meant, or do you remember how, or is it just kind of, you know, ambiguous when that happened, or how? Yeah, maybe. It might be a hard question.
Yeah, that is tough. Maybe like when I was in high school, when they caught us kissing and were calling us lesbians, that it finally kind of clicked. I'm sure I read about it or seen it somewhere. But I think that's probably when it clicked, like, oh wow, I am a lesbian. but I don't know. I might have heard about it before then, but I have no recollection.
Okay. And you mentioned it was ninth grade that you moved to Lexington, that you and your family moved to Lexington.
Yeah.
And then you were there for, how long were you in Lexington? Like, it was for,
freshman year, so that was 76, I think, 77, and then we moved in 2000. So I was there 17 years.
Okay. And when you first moved to Lexington, paint me just a little picture of, like, what was it like? What was the general sort of feeling? Like, for you, did it feel like a really big city? Did it not feel like a big city? Like, what did it feel like to you when you first
moved? Oh, my God. It was huge to me. I mean, from the little teeny tiny town that I came from, it was like, oh, my God. You know, it was like L.A. to me. And, you know, I loved it. And ended up, you know, making fast friends. Where my mom and I lived was literally right over the hill from Tate's Creek, so I could walk to school every day and met, you know, some friends in the neighborhood that, you know, ended up becoming fast friends and still are friends. So, yeah, it just seemed like such a giant city from what I was used to.
Mm-hmm. And when was it that you first heard about the country? Like, how did you first learn about its existence?
Well, that's a great story. So when we were seniors, Alice and I, my first, come to find, probably that summer before our senior year, we had met a gal, her name was Vicky Connor, and we met her at some park. I can't remember what park she was. She was working at a park, and we were there, and she was very attractive. So both Alice and I are like, how you doing? and just, you know, became friends, and then come to find out that she was actually dating a really good friend of ours from Tate's Creek High School, and we didn't know they were dating, and we sure didn't know that Jill was gay. And so then it was like, oh my gosh, so she had actually told us about the country. And that's how we ended up wandering in there. I guess we had gotten some fake IDs, I'm certain of it, and ended up going there. Well, it must have been the summer after our senior year. I don't think we had gone there while we were seniors. I think we'd probably gone there the summer after our senior year and went and checked it out.
Okay. And do you remember, and you can just give like a ballpark range if you don't remember like specifics, but do you remember how old you were and like what year it was?
It was 1981, and I was 18.
Okay. That was very precise. Like, you knew.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, you definitely remember, for sure. Okay, give me more of a sense of the country. I don't know. Do you remember, like, specifically the first time you went there, or is it more general memories of just multiple times?
I remember the first time because I had played high school softball my junior and senior year. And when the very first time we went there, Alice and I, and we walked in, there were several girls that in high school that I'd played softball against. So I'm looking around going, oh my God, I remember her. You know, we were just like, oh my God. You know, we could not, because it was packed. There was all these, you know, lesbians there. And we're just like, yeah, it was like a candy store. Sorry. to me anyway.
Right. Well, I mean, before you thought, you know, you were the only ones in this place.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And just, you know, every, you know, there was several, you know, older women there, and just some beautiful, beautiful women. Of course, you know, we were thinking, you know, we didn't realize what lesbians we're supposed to look like, honestly, you know, just because we didn't know. And it's like, oh my God, she's so beautiful. Like, oh, if you're a lesbian, you're ugly, whatever. That's how naive we were. Or that you were a butch, you know, and it's like, no, there were some serious femme women that were there. There was just everything that was there, but it was packed. And of course, then some of the girls that I'd played softball with started recognizing me, and then, you know, you start meeting people. And then of course we can't wait till every weekend that we can go back. So, yeah, I remember, specifically the very first time, because it was like, I could not believe all the people there that I'd already seen, the women there that I'd already seen out.
And what's your recollection of, like, the location of the country, the parking lot, the stores around it? What do you remember about that kind of stuff?
Well, it wasn't in the best part of town. I mean, it was off of, you know, Lane Allen over there. You know, it's not like you could hide really well with the parking lot there. But, you know, it was what it was, you know, there in that little strip shopping center. I can't remember where I was living at the time. It wasn't close there. So it's like, you know, it's kind of out of the way to get there, just because I didn't live that close to it. But, you know, you wouldn't have known there was a gay bar in there, you know, because it was, you know, it was like just a glass door that didn't, I don't even remember if it had anything on it. I think you had to like walk in this glass door and then walk to the back. And then there was the entrance to the door. And I think that's where it said what the name of it is. Honestly, I can't remember.
Yeah, that sounds similar to what other people have said, that there was like a door that you would go in first, and the exterior door is like there wasn't a sign.
Nondescript. Yeah. It was just like, okay, there's a bar in here, you know.
Right.
And, but yeah, you kind of walked into a, like an entryway that, you know, like a, almost like a lobby area, and then you went through another door to actually get into the bar. And it was on the, you know, the back side.
Okay. And what was the interior like in terms of like number of rooms, what it looked like, just anything you can remember about just like visually, you know, what was it like when you walked inside the actual bar itself?
You walked in, over like to the right of the bar, there were pool tables there. Remember there's one or two pool tables over there, and then the actual bar itself to get cocktails and everything was on the right-hand side. And then the restrooms were kind of on the back side of that. And then you went to another room that was the dance floor and where the DJ was and everything. And I'm only remembering like those two rooms. I don't remember anything else. Yeah, I do remember that back by the restrooms, there was a back door with a fire escape. So when the cops came, all the underage people used to have to run out that back door to get out of there. So I do remember that, but I only remember two rooms in there.
Okay. And in terms of the cops, were you, I guess for, you were among the people who had to like run to avoid them, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't want my fake ID taken away or get in trouble. So, oh yeah. And there were plenty of times that, you know, they came in there. I'm not sure how they found out about it or why, because it's not like, you know, that place was that conspicuous to want to raid. I mean, I'm not really sure how that ended up happening. All I know is we never got caught. That's all I know.
Right. Do you have any recollection of like how often that was? Like, I'm assuming it was more than one time just based on how you're describing it. That.
Oh yeah. It happened several times. I don't know how many, mm-hmm. But you know, starting at 18 and then I can't even tell you when it actually closed. But I know, I don't even know, it might have closed before I even turned 21. I'm not sure. I don't remember being of age going there, so I don't know. Do you know when it closed? I have no idea.
I think it was 82.
Okay, so I wouldn't even have been 21 yet, so okay.
Right.
but yeah, it was several times. I don't know how many, quite honestly.
Okay. And do you remember what kind of drinks did they have? Was it like beer only? Was there wine, mixed drinks? What do you remember? I mean, you were drinking there, right? I guess I'm just like assuming that. I should have asked that.
Yes, I believe I was drinking. I think they had alcohol. I was only drinking beer mm-hmm. back then, so I don't know if they had alcohol. I only remember getting beer. So it may have been beer only. I don't know. Beer, wine. I don't know. Okay. I don't remember.
And yeah, I'm just going, a lot of these questions right now are just like the more sort of basic kind of descriptive ones. Do you remember, like, well, actually I should ask this first. So you go there for the first time, you know, your mind is blown, candy store, you know, whatever. Did you start going often at that point? You tell me more about that. Like, did you start going how often? Like, you know,
every weekend.
Yeah. Every weekend.
Oh yeah. Every weekend. Probably I would say, I don't know if it was both nights, like Friday or Saturday, but definitely every weekend. I love to dance, mm-hmm. and so did Alice. And they always played absolutely awesome, awesome music. I mean, I still remember some of the music from back then and have it on playlists that they played. But we would definitely go and dance and just, you know, have a great time and be able to be together and, you know, dance together and kiss if we wanted to. And it was just like, because that was the only place we could go and be ourselves, you know, that we knew of that point. But yeah, it was definitely every weekend, probably till they closed.
Yeah. And when you were there, I think you mentioned that the first time you went, it was like packed. Was it usually packed and crowded?
Oh yeah, it was always crowded. I mean, from what I remember, I always remember there always being a lot of women there. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And they would have shows. Like there'd be drag queens come in, you know, different types of entertainment and stuff. I actually remember one time, I still cannot believe I did this, but they would have, so this gal would dress up as a guy, mm-hmm. and do like Michael Jackson and everything. And she was amazing. So good. And just the best entertainer, and would, you know, lip sync and dance and everything on the dance floor, and everybody, you know, just slide off and be watching her. And somehow she convinced me, that I needed to get out there and do a show one weekend. And like I said, I can't believe I did. But I got out there and, did a lip sync of, Ain't Nobody by Chaka Khan. And, you know, I had like this, I guess like a pink shirt on that was long. That was it. And had heels on, which I never wear. But was out there dancing and lip syncing and having a good time. And like I said, I can't believe that she got me to do that. But so I remember some great entertainment along with, you know, just having fun and dancing and everything.
Now, were there other people who, I guess that's kind of like a drag king thing?
Like a drag king, although I wasn't dressed up as a guy. I was actually dressed up as a girl. She did. Right. She dressed up as a guy, like Michael Jackson and stuff. But I don't remember any other entertainers but her. That's the only one, because she was just so good. I remember her. There could have been others that came. I just don't recall.
Right. And was there ever like live music, or was it always just like on the speakers?
It was a DJ. Yeah. I don't remember any live music there ever.
Okay. And in terms of the people who went there, were they all women, or did any, like, were there ever any men that would show up, or was it?
Yeah. I remember some men there, not very many. Mm-hmm. You know, they were there with their best girlfriends or whatever. I don't remember very many men being there. It was mainly women. But there, I remember a few guys would pop in.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of the women there, I think you said there was like a mixture of, you know, all kinds of different types and like ages and stuff. Was there a mixture in terms of people who, you know, identified as more femme or more butch, or like didn't identify as either? What was sort of like the demographic in terms of that? Were there, you know, lots of different types or more of one type than others? What do you think?
I think it was just a little bit of everything. There were straight people there too. Some of my friends that I went to high school with, some ladies, one in particular, a good friend of mine who, you know, was not a lesbian, not even close, but loved to dance, loved the music, loved the attention from the lesbians because she was quite pretty. So she went, you know, a few times and had a ball and loved going there. It was kind of across the board, a little bit of everything that I recall. You know, some older ladies, some that were my age, some that were, you know, quite butch, some that were feminine, a little bit of everything in between. I would say I'm kind of in the middle there. I don't think I was much of a butch, or I'm not really feminine, but kind of in the middle. And there was just a little bit of everything, and everybody just, you know, dug each other and got along. And it wasn't like cliques that, not that I remember, cliques that kind of hung out together. Everybody was just, you know, having a good time because it was a lesbian bar and we didn't know of anything else. And just like, you know, our own little secret, and just to go and have a good time and enjoy each other and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I just remember it being a little mix of everything.
And so I have like just a few more questions about like the people who went there, just in the general sense. Yeah. Was it mixed racially, or was it more like more of a white space? What do you remember in terms of that? In terms of just like racial demographic?
Quite a few black women that were there. But some of them ended up being my friends. But I would have to say it was more primarily white, but there were some black women there. About.
Yeah. And do you remember anything about the businesses or locations that were next door to the country, or is that not really part of the memory?
Not at all. I know there were businesses there because it was a little strip shopping center. What they were, not a clue. Mm-hmm. I couldn't even tell you.
And when it came to the people that were there, because obviously you started going like every weekend, like pretty regularly, were the people there mostly regulars, or was it always like new faces there? What was it like in terms of that?
Pretty much the same kind of group ended up going that I remember. There might have been a few newbies here or there, but it was normally a lot of the same folks that came every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Probably all the lesbians that lived in Lexington that knew about it all showed up. That's right. Why it was always crowded.
Right. Some people have mentioned membership cards to me. Some people are like, no, I don't remember that. And some people say that there were membership cards. Do you remember anything about that?
I do not.
Yeah.
I don't remember having a I may have, but I sure don't remember a membership card. Okay. No. Do you remember my fake ID?
Well, you never forget that.
Yeah, I remember that, but I don't remember a membership card.
Do you remember like a cover charge ever? Was there ever a cover charge?
I know I didn't have much money, so if there was, that would have been tough on me because I, you know, was working in high school and it was just me and my mom, and she didn't have any money either. So if there was a cover charge, that would have been tough. So I don't remember one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there may have been, and I probably would have scrounged up the money to make it happen, but I don't remember one.
Okay, yeah. And walk me through, I mean, you've kind of talked a bit about this kind of thing already, but walk me through a bit of what would a typical night at the country sort of consist of? Like, you get there, and where did the night sort of lead you typically? What was a typical night there like?
First we'd probably go in and get something to drink, and then, you know, check the place out, and hopefully at that point, you know, we've met some people and chatting about the week or, you know, what had been going on. And then, like I said, most of the time after that, we were out on the dance floor, just dancing our tails off. That would be a typical night.
Mm-hmm. And would you usually stay until closing, or maybe go home sooner closing?
Close the place down. Yep.
Yeah. Do you remember what time that usually was? Was it like 1, 2, 3? You know, what was it in the wee hours?
I think it was 1.
Yeah.
I think that's when the bar closed. I think it was 1. Pretty sure it was 1.
Yeah. And how long did you go there for, just in general? You know, did you go there?
If it closed in 82 and I started going, I mean, I went from right out of high school in 81 to whenever it closed. And if it closed in 82, I was going that whole time.
Yeah.
Right.
Did you remember it closing at some point? Like,
but
exist anymore, you know?
Well, I mean, yeah, I remember when it closed because I'd ended up becoming pretty good friends. I think when we first started going, it was owned by a different woman. And then towards the end, another woman bought it, and I had become pretty good friends with her. She was older, but she ended up always letting me in. I think she had a little crush on me or something, but I remember hearing when it finally closed down because one of my friends, some relation actually dated the owner of the country at that time. So that's how we ended up finding out that it closed. And I honestly don't even remember why it closed, because it couldn't have been because they weren't making any money, because that place was always packed. But I don't remember. I just remember being quite brokenhearted and hearing about that closing, because there was nowhere for us to go. And of course I'd heard about, the bar downtown and everything, but that was where the men went, and I didn't hear a whole lot of women that were going there, but of course I ended up going there several times myself, but I don't remember why it ended up closing.
Do you remember, was it during the time that you went there, was it always called the country, or did its name change to the Hidden Door at some point?
Yes, it did. And maybe that was when Kathy Farmer bought it. Maybe she changed the name from the country to the Hidden Door. Mm-hmm. But Kathy Farmer was the owner when I think it ended up closing. Mm-hmm. That's who I know. I don't remember who the other owner was. I'm sure I knew back then, but I don't remember now.
Yeah, I was actually about to ask you if you remember some of the personalities that used to be there, like DJ, manager, owners. Like, do you remember any particular people, or is it just kind of like not as many names at this point?
Oh, as far as like who worked there?
Yeah, just like regular faces, people that were part of the fabric of it.
Tons.
Okay, no good.
Tons, yeah, we could be here all night. Kathy Farmer was the owner towards the end there. I'm quite certain that her name would come up since she was pretty regular there. Becky Blake was a regular there, and she danced and was quite the stud of the bar, no doubt. Everybody wanted to dance with her, and she was really pretty and could dance real good. But oh my god, there's tons of people that I remember going there. I could go on and on. And like I said, a lot of them I'm still friends with, but it would go on and on mentioning names, but that's just one regular that come up in your conversations.
Right. Give me just like a few more, since we have enough time. Give me a few more if that you remember.
Well, Connie was there. Jill Galt was the gal that was my good friend and still a good friend that I went to high school with that would go. She was a year younger than me, so she was really breaking the rules. Lisa Moses was a gal that was there all the time. Actually, her and I dated for a minute. Dottie Kincaid was a gal that was there all the time. Mm-hmm. Those are just some names that just came into my head real quick.
Yeah, just like at the top of your memory. I was just curious to hear. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, I forgot to ask, what kind of music did they usually play there?
Just good dance music. The Motown, some R&B, like I said, but the 80s kind of dance music, of course, anything that was popular. Literally wasn't like they didn't play any rock and roll, or I don't remember any country or anything like that. It was just, get out there and dance. And so it was all just dance music that I remember.
Mm-hmm. And the people you met at the country, and you've just like listed a bunch of names, would you only see them at the country, or were there other times that you'd, obviously if you were dating someone, but were there other times that you'd like meet up with people, or just like other places you would hang out at, even though obviously they wouldn't be like lesbian spaces specifically?
I played on some softball leagues with a lot of these folks after school. Mm-hmm. After we got out of school. So, I would see them then on the weekends and through the summer, of course. Girls that would have parties, we'd go to their house and have parties. like you said, there wasn't a whole lot of any lesbian space besides that. So it was primarily either playing softball or at someone's house at a party or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would see a bunch of them that I ended up being friends with, sure.
Yeah, yeah. And you mentioned that, you know, obviously it wasn't the same, but you mentioned the bar, like the bar complex, or mm-hmm. that's called now.
Right.
And you mentioned that you tried going there a few times. Well, I don't know if that's a wording you use, but you went there multiple times from what I remember.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Tell me more about like what it was like then and just, you know, how you felt when you were there. What was it like?
I actually went there, when I moved out with my mom, I moved in with an older woman that I had met. I worked at a convenient food mart on Richmond Road and she used to come in there all the time. And I told her that, you know, I'd have fallen out with my mom and, you know, about being gay and everything. And she's like, you know, I'm looking for a roommate. And, I was working full time so I could afford to move out. So I ended up, you know, moving in with her and, you know, she was old enough to get into the bar. And so she's actually the one that took me there the first time there again with my fake ID. I might've been of age then. Well, it was probably with my fake ID. Because she had a lot of guy friends where I hadn't really met that many guys at that point. So we would go and party and hang out with them. So I met a lot of, you know, guys that were down there. They always played great music. You know, it was just dark there, which is still probably dark there. And it kind of seedy, like, you know, shouldn't be here kind of thing. you know, there again, love to dance. They were always playing great music, so you know, I went there several times with her. We just had a ball.
Mm-hmm. Was the country the kind of bar where people would like go there to find a hookup? Was it more like, oh, we go to just like dance in general? Like, what kind of like incentives were there for people going to the country? From what you can remember, obviously, in your experience,
I am sure that people went there to try to find somebody to, you know, start dating or hook up or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I know I did, you know, plenty of times. I don't know that everybody was doing that. You know, there were a lot of girlfriends, you know, that would go there together. But definitely you would go there to see who was out and who was dating who or whatever or try to hook up. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And I actually just realized I forgot to ask this earlier when I was asking about like the demographics of the people who went there. Do you have any recollection of like, in terms of people who went there, like socioeconomic class, like was the people who went there, did they work? Did they have not a lot of money? Did they have a lot of money? Or was that something that at your age back then you weren't really like noticing as much? What's sort of your recollection of that?
Well, I mean, a lot of the gals that I knew, you know, were working, you know, to be able to go out and play. I don't think that their parents had tons of money. I don't remember any of them having tons of money. There might have been a few gals that, you know, might have had some money. But honestly, if there was poor or rich or whatever, I don't even remember. I think we were all just there to have a good time, no matter what, and like I said, in our safe space. So I don't think that, you know, like money or anything ever came up in conversation. You know, it's just coming from knowing the women that I ended up meeting, you know, were just out there working so they could, you know, pay their rent or have a good time. That was about it. Pay their car payment or gas payment.
Right. And I mean, you've kind of answered this already and, you know, mentioned a couple things, but I wanted to just ask more overtly, like, what was the country to you? Like, how did you feel when you were there? What did it sort of like give to you or provide to you just as a space, the country? What did it do for you?
Well, I mean, like I said, we at the time thought we were the only ones. And so it was refreshing for me. I mean, I absolutely fell in love with the place. Ended up, you know, hooking up myself with a few different girls that I ended up dating for, you know, a little while. I just always remember that, you know, it was just so nice to be able to go there and feel safe.
Yeah.
And not judged. And, you know, just always just had such a good time. And like I said, I like to dance so much that, you know, I always knew that I was going to have fun. When I went there, it was a for sure thing. Wasn't a lot of drama. I mean, there was probably drama going on, not in my world. And just, it was always just so much fun. I mean, and I'm sure it broke my heart when they closed, as it did probably a lot of people, because it was just so much fun and just kind of carefree and, you know, didn't have to worry about nothing except when the cops came and run out the back. But besides that.
yeah, other than the cops.
other than those cops coming, you know, could have arrested us and stuff or could have shut the bar down. I mean, hell, that might have been the reason they closed. They always let in underage girls. But yeah, I just always have fond memories of how great it was, and which is one of the reasons why I'm even speaking to you, because when Connie told me that you were doing this, I'm like, oh my God, I love that place.
yeah, you got excited about it.
I did. Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. You've used the word safe a couple times, and some other interviewees have mentioned it too, like the idea of the country as being like this safe place, the safe space. And I wanted to kind of like dig into that a little more and ask you, like, safe from what? Like, what do you think of, oh, like, it's a safe space, like, safe from what? What are you thinking and feeling when you think that, when you say that?
Bigots, you know, people not liking that, you know, if we were to have been somewhere else, you know, to lesbians dancing or whatever, you know, and back then it just wasn't really accepted at all. And, you know, we were kind of scared of that, you know, because things had happened down at the bar, you know, and people, you know, getting beat up and, you know, different things that had happened down there. So we knew when we were in there that, you know, that we were safe, and no judging, no anything. And we could be ourselves because there just wasn't anywhere else. You could be yourself. And like I said, if you wanted to kiss your girlfriend, you could kiss her. If you wanted to hold her hand, you could hold her hand. If you want to make out, you can make out, you know. So safe in all those aspects. And I always remember that. I did never have to worry about anything. Except those guys.
Right, yeah. you might not, I know that you weren't at the bar as much as you were at the country, so you might not remember, but do you remember anything else that happened at the bar? Like, I mean, I've heard about this before too, like some people getting beat up there or whatever at the time. And I'm just sort of digging through your memory at this point, obviously. Do you remember do you recall any other details about that? Like, would you just hear about that? Would people kind of talk about those things happening?
Oh yeah. I saw it on the news. I saw it on the news and people, you know, would talk about it. And of course, you know, that would make us that much more scared because, you know, we were gay and it's like, you know, they might beat us up too, you know, who knows? And I'm sure I, you know, had seen it on the news is how I had heard about it.
Yeah. And earlier you mentioned softball and I wanted to ask, was that something that you only did during high school or did you continue with it after high school finished?
Oh no, I had continued after school. Yeah. That's where I ended up. A lot of those gals that I had met at the country ended up playing softball with a bunch of them. And there was Shortville Park? I'm trying to remember the park where, you know, there was a league. So yeah, I played several years after graduation on different leagues. You know, I played on a league in Frankfort and played on a league in Lexington. And so yeah, I played softball probably, I don't know, maybe 5-6 years after high school. It might have been a little longer. I forget when I stopped playing.
The Lexington team, do you remember the places that you all would play at? Like, would you play at Woodland Park, for example, or, you know, other places?
I don't think we played at Woodland. Mm-hmm. I think we played at Chilito Park. I can see the park, but I'm trying to remember where it was.
Right.
yeah. Gosh, you know, and we kind of played all over because we traveled to, I mean, I remember going to a tournament down in Corbin. Weekend, I mean, you know, just depended on the team and, you know, where, but we kind of played pretty much probably all over Lexington. I just don't recall the parks.
Mm-hmm. And for the softball, sorry, my cat's like was distracting me for a second there. She was trying to like chew my pen. So in terms of the softball team, the Lexington one, was it, I don't know how to put it, was it pretty like lesbian-y? Like were there like a large portion of lesbians on the team? Was it maybe just a couple of you?
It was mainly. There were a few straight girls, but it was mainly lesbian.
Yeah, and was that something that you all, like, did you all already know each other from the country? Or, like, how did you know they were lesbians, basically?
Meeting at the country, yep. And then meeting through mutual friends. Or at a party, you know, meeting them at a party or something. But most of the teams that were in these leagues, most of the lesbians knew each other, yeah.
Right. And did the team like hang out ever, like as a team, any place?
Or? Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, like I said, but there were several teams, it wasn't just one.
Right.
There were several teams. And yeah, like I said, hanging out during a tournament, because there were tournaments, of course, all summer long, or somebody's, you know, house as far as a party or something. But yeah, I mean, I ran around with a lot of the gals that I played softball with.
Mm-hmm. And for these teams, like, when you all would hang out, would you ever, like, talk openly about, you know, lesbian-y kind of stuff? Or was that, like, only for certain years? You know what I mean?
I don't know that we really talked about lesbian stuff. I think we just talked about general stuff, just life and work or parents or, you know, something. Or my girlfriend pissed me off or my girlfriend slept with another girl. I don't know that it was
So you could, like, mention...
Was it lesbian stuff?
You can mention having a girlfriend, though, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. We all knew each other was gay. Yeah, we weren't in the closet at all.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
So when I came out to my mom after that, I didn't care.
You just didn't care anymore.
I didn't care anymore. Yeah.
And then I think you already said this, but you don't know why the country ended up closing. I think you said that.
I don't recall.
And have you heard anything ever, or is it just kind of always been a bit of a mystery to you?
I've never heard. And yeah, I honestly never really inquired, I guess, to find out. But I have no idea.
Yeah. And so after the country closes, where do you all hang out again, basically? Like, all the people you used to see at the country regularly, where did you all go?
I'm trying to remember. Well, there was, I don't know timeline-wise, but there was a place that opened on, right next to, it was downtown. Right next to, and like I said, I don't remember the time frame of it. It was a bar. It was just a bar. Right next to a music store. We went there a lot, I recall, and then right around the corner, that's Vine. Yeah, I think it was Vine. It was Club 141, I think, something like that. Mm-hmm. That did have dancing and great drag shows. It wasn't just women, it was everybody. I remember going there for a while. I remember, when I got to 21, we would drive to Louisville, to the Downtowner. I don't know if anybody ever brought that up. What a great bar that was. I mean, literally, you know, drive an hour and a half Louisville to go to an awesome gay bar, not lesbian. I don't even remember another just lesbian bar, a gay bar in general. But I remember driving to Louisville several times. I remember Club 141. Was it Breezing? Yeah, there was another bar. Breezing's, I think. Was a gay bar that actually Melissa Etheridge came in town and went there, which was pretty cool. I did not get to see her. Some of my friends did. Just a gay bar, not a lot. I don't recall, but I know they had it upstairs and downstairs. And downstairs was the bar and you could sit and chat. And then upstairs was the dance floor that there were so many people up there dancing that the people below thought the floor was going to fall through at any moment because it wasn't a great a safe space as far as safe, the building. But I remember going there for a while, and there again, I don't remember like the time frame of all those, but okay. Those are bars that I do remember.
You remember
going to before I moved. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, some of the other interviewees I've talked with, some of them were involved in more sort of like feminist women's movement kind of stuff at the time. Some of them weren't. And I was curious sort of where you fell on that spectrum. Was that something that was part of your life during that time period, or was that not so much a part of your life? What do you think?
I didn't really get involved with any movements or anything. No, mm-hmm. I was just doing my own thing, working and trying to have fun, and that was about it.
Right. And you've mentioned that you met like a lot of people at the country, and you're mentioning some names. Are you still in touch with a lot of these people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, gosh, yeah. Yeah, a lot of them. I'm kind of one of those people that once we're friends, I don't let you go. Mm-hmm. And it's nice when Facebook started that literally it's so easy now to keep in touch with old friends from all over the country. Mm-hmm. And I do. And having discussions and chatting. And we come back to Lexington all the time. Generally, we're up there for Derby, and I get to see a bunch of my friends at Derby parties and stuff. Yeah, absolutely. Keep in touch with a lot of them. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And tell me a bit about, just sort of in summary, tell me a little bit about your life since the country. Like since, that closed, that was over, you went to some of these other bars. Tell me just about some of your life since that point.
Oh, gosh.
Because I know you're in Florida now, so I'm assuming, there's been some big moves that have happened.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and I, the remainder of my time when we were in Lexington was just, going to, if we could go out to a bar, and have some fun. It wasn't as regular as when I was younger. But just to get the opportunity to go out was always fun. Then when I moved to Florida, I was in my 30s, so still partying and sought out some gay bars in the area. So, went to a few gay bars here in Florida, enjoyed them and, met some people through there. But, of course, now as I'm older, go to very few bars. So it was just a progression of, just going out in Kentucky or here just every now and then and just enjoying a club. And there again, that camaraderie of hanging out at a gay bar and being able to be yourself and not have to worry about anything. And that kind of never changed. It was always one of the reasons why I like to go to a gay bar was to get to dance with a woman and not have to worry about nothing and just have a good time.
Yeah. And pretty simple. That feeling you talked about, like that camaraderie, like gay feeling, basically. How are there other ways outside of, going to a gay bar that you're able to kind of like access that feeling, say like seeing certain friends or going certain places? Like, are there other ways that you get to feel that kind of camaraderie sort of spirit?
When we would, like I said, all play softball together when I was younger, that camaraderie of that. Just trying to remember other things that were being done when I was younger as far as camaraderie.
Yeah, when you're younger or even, closer to now, either.
Yeah. It's almost weird now. It's not even like a camaraderie. It's just so, I guess, basic now, we're able to get married and it's just like, well, you're a lesbian, whatever. I mean, I go everywhere and don't care. So it's not really a camaraderie thing anymore. It's just getting together with friends, basically, and that's straight or gay. Cause I have a ton of straight friends and they'll come to a party with gay friends and, everybody's just having a good time, period. Just, having a good time. And then like when I moved here, I actually played on a co-ed softball team, and got to meet a lot of new people that way. And actually I was the only lesbian, on the team. I know two of us on the team. That, so that was kind of not a camaraderie thing, but just a group thing, group outings, you know, and things just everybody does, you know, to have, you know, a hobby, you know, something to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess that's, I don't know if that answered that question.
Oh, it does. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I guess I'm moving into sort of like the last couple questions at this point, okay. Just the heads up.
Okay.
Yeah. And these ones are a little more retrospective, kind of like we've just been doing like then versus now, like that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you lived in Lexington for many years, so, and you visit sometimes still. Well, I guess I don't know if you're visiting with like COVID happening necessarily, but you used to visit.
I haven't been up there since COVID, no.
Right. but just, I'd like you to think about Lexington then, as in during that time period when you were going to the country, for example, and then, you know, closer toward the present day, or even just closer toward the 2000s. Is there a difference between, you know, Lexington, like earlier Lexington, then Lexington, and closer to the present day, or like now Lexington, like then versus now? What has changed in Lexington? What has remained the same? What do you think?
Well, of course, you know, they started having, you know, the pride parades, which, you know, that wasn't happening when I was living there, so that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So it's getting, you know, a lot more open, you know, to be out and be proud there, which is nice. Mm-hmm. You know, and different things like that, that, you know, my friends have let me know. I've never gotten to experience it.
Yeah.
But, you know, and just, I think it's just a lot more laid back, you know, as far as the gay community than it used to be. And that's nice. And
yeah,
of course it's that way all across the country, but, I'm glad for my lesbian friends that are still there that, you know, they can enjoy it and enjoy just kind of being laid back and not having to worry about it as much.
Yeah. And how about like the gay or LGBT community, generally speaking, like then versus now, do you think, there have been changes? Are there a lot of similarities between these two sort of phases? What's the same and what's different, kind of, in terms of just like that community, I guess?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, when I was younger, there really was no organization of anything.
Right.
You know, and now they're organized and are a powerful group as far as politics go. As far as, you know, getting rights for, you know, gay folks, all, the whole spectrum, of course, mm-hmm. And being a force to be reckoned with, you know, like any group, and are respected, which is nice. But so there was really nothing back then that I recall of any groups. And, you know, to see it now, you know, we're members of HRC and, you know, try to get involved a little bit with them, not a ton.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, just to, that, you know, it's a lot more mainstream now, you know, than it's ever been. And that's just a great feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I have, I think, just like two more questions. But before I get into those, I wanted to give you a second to think if there's anything else that you wanted to, like any memories, any whatever, anything you want to discuss that we haven't talked about yet or I haven't asked about yet. Obviously it might be, you know, a lot to think about this on the spot, but if there's anything that, you know, as I ask these last two questions, if you're like, oh wait, I forgot to mention, you know, such and such, just let me know if there's anything.
Okay. I can't think of anything.
Okay, cool. So just let me know if anything just kind of comes up in your head. So, all right, I did that. Yeah, I mean, I guess it's basically one last question, which you kind of talked about already, which is, you know, how did you feel when you heard about this project? I guess you heard about it from Connie, right?
This did,
yeah. Yeah.
She had reached out, I guess it was a few months ago, it feels like, mm-hmm. was telling me about it and that you guys had talked. And then, of course, we started reminiscing mm-hmm. about the country and, you know, all the trouble that we used to get into, because she's a little older than me, and the trouble that she used to get into.
Yeah, she told me a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, so just getting to reminisce about it was nice, because I hadn't heard that word in forever.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, nobody talked about the country, and when she said that, I'm like, oh my God. You know, so when I heard about the project, she's like, you know, can I let her know that you're interested in speaking? I'm like, yeah, And I don't know exactly what I'll remember, but yeah, I'd love to speak with her. So yeah, it was, it brought back some really fond memories. It sure did.
Yeah. And then last actual question, what was it like reminiscing about those things again? Like, what kind of feelings does it bring up for you?
Awesome. I loved it. Like I said, we didn't know. We thought we were the only ones. And to find out that we weren't, and that there was that world out there that we knew nothing about, and being able to go there and just have a wonderful, you know, dance your butt off time every weekend, you know, for someone young like us, and, you know, me from this teeny tiny small town in Ohio, I mean, it's just, the best. It was just the best thing ever, you know, and you never wanted it to end. When last call came, we're all like missing and moaning. We didn't want, we didn't want it to end. And, you know, just had a ball. So it brings back very, very fond memories. It's been nice talking about it. I'm trying to remember about all of it, but, cause my memory shot, but yeah, I just remember just such a great feeling about it. I do. Deep, I remember that. If I don't remember a whole lot of details, I do remember that I had an awesome time.
Okay, awesome. All right, Lisa, thank you for talking to me for so long today.
You're welcome.
Yeah. And I will, tomorrow I'll shoot you a text. There's just like one more thing. There's like a form that we both signed for this, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I'll text you tomorrow about all of that. And that is pretty much it. Again, thanks for, you know, giving me over an hour of your time today.
You're welcome. Well, thanks for, wanting to talk to me. I appreciate it. And I hope this project, becomes everything you want it to be. I hope that I'll find out when it all ends and what the outcome, is. But, good for you to want to do this and, you know, let the lesbian community kind of shine out there, since it was always pretty much the guys, but they get all their history, and the women are like, meh, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, that's like the point, right? Yeah, it's all because of that. That's why I'm doing it. So I'm glad to know that you see that and feel
absolutely
that.
I commend you. I think it's awesome. So good for you.
Okay, awesome. All right, well, thank you, and have fun with your plans at 7, and have
you're
a
welcome
day. All right,
okay, thank you
see
you later.